Hi, I'm Nick Martin, site editor for Search Server Virtualization, and you're listening to the This Week in Virtualization podcast. This week, as promised, we're recording the show from VMworld in San Francisco, and as we expected, it's been quite busy for us here. VMware finally raised the curtain on their new hyperconverged infrastructure product, and there were some updates to their EUC portfolio. And of course, they've managed to confuse all of us by rebranding their cloud services and management tools, but hopefully we'll keep you on track here. So I've had quite a busy show chasing down the news stories and popping into breakout sessions and, of course, trying to keep up with the after parties. But one of the things that I think is most interesting that I'm finding here at the show talking to people this year is that it really seems like a lot of the shops are starting to buy into the idea of the software-defined data center. So last year, there was a lot of buzz around NSX and vSAN, but there was also quite a bit of confusion and skepticism, and I'm still seeing some of that confusion. But this year, it really seems like, at least from the people that I've talked to, that they're realizing this is where things are headed. I also wanted to sit down with Simon Crosby, the CTO of Bromium, to get his thoughts on what's been going on here at the show. Simon and I talked a few months back about the need for virtualization companies like VMware to embrace containers, and wouldn't you know it, VMware announced a partnership with Docker here at the show. So I'd like to play just a snippet from our conversation about what he thinks VMware is doing and where it's headed with containers.
So we talked quite a few months back now about containers and what it could mean for VMware. What do you think, they're headed in the right direction now? Are they catching up to where they should be?
So containerization and virtualization are not uncomfortable bedfellows. I think they're complementary. So what is containerization good for? It's good for packaging an app with its dependencies in terms of an operating system and various other bits. And virtualization is very good for really two things. One, separating software from hardware, if you need to make something show up and run. And the other one is hardware multi-tenancy, enforcing a boundary between multiple running things on a server or a client in such a way that they literally cannot infringe on each other's memory or anything else without breaking the CPU. Okay, so that's really primarily a security boundary, right? And both obviously critical in cloud. So I don't see them as being uncomfortable bedfellows. If you were running 100% your own stuff and it was all bare core OS Linux, right?
Right.
And you could just run Docker containers on top, good for you. But if you're ever in a cloud, you kind of want a bit more isolation and comfort around you. The interesting question is whether you could go for something far denser than a traditional cloud give you. So if you go to AWS today and you run a VM and put Docker in it, and somebody next door to you in the same server does the same thing, it's another copy of another OS, can you get something much denser? Yeah, you can. If you take a micro-virtualization approach, you could get a memory optimization of about a factor of 100. Huge.
I also wanted to take a minute to talk with Bob Plankers, a TechTarget contributor and IT architect, to ask him what he's seen and whether the same trends that I've seen here at the show are resonating with him. So we talked about the level of innovation from the vendors on the show floor and also his thoughts on the winner of the Best of VMworld Awards, Data Gravity. And, of course, we also touch on some of the other news going on here, Evo, the new hyperconverged infrastructure product, and where he thinks VMware is headed with NSX. And I'm here at the show with Bob Plankers, virtualization architect. Bob, thanks for joining me. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thanks for having me.
So one of the things I noticed is gaining a lot of attention at the show here is Evo, which is VMware's hyperconverged infrastructure product that they announced yesterday. And I'm curious what your thoughts on it are. We've seen hyperconverged infrastructure products out there already. How do you think this fits in, and what's VMware trying to accomplish with it?
Well, Evo is interesting. It's clearly based on vSphere. And so it follows some of the same limits as vSphere, sizing limits and things like that. It's got a pretty simple interface. That's the whole point, right, is simplify the operations of IT staff, simplify what they have to worry about, remove a lot of the details, remove a lot of the complexity. And so on that end, it looks like they're doing some really good work there. It is a 1.0 product, they're going to learn a lot from it. They probably already have learned a lot from it. And you see some stuff leaking out into, they demoed a lot of, vSphere 6.0 stuff. You see some of the stuff that feature sets that they're leaking there. You could see how they'd be applicable to things like Evos and stuff like that. And yeah, it's interesting. It's a from a hardware perspective, they're trying to stay out of the hardware business. I mean, that's a it's a really complicated position for VMware to be in. Here, there's VCE, and VCE is well, you know, it's they're already doing converged infrastructure. The there's Nutanix out there. There's Simplivity. There's Scale. There's a bunch of competitors in the space. Well, maybe not a bunch, but there's some competitors in the space. You can come along. Anybody can come along now and basically get Supermicro Twin hardware that meets their. There's very stringent requirements for the hardware on this, and but things like the Dell C, the PowerEdge C6220 setups. That's the right thing. Supermicro Twin architecture, you know, anybody can come along, you know, J Random Partner, you know, Bob Partner Consulting Inc. here, you know, I can go ahead and load the software on there and then sell it to somebody, you know. So it'll be really interesting to see what it looks like as far as price points go and where they go. It's a very simple interface, and I wonder if it's not too simple at this point. You know, this is the beginnings of what we saw with Nutanix and Simplivity and that early on, and it's necessarily gotten a little bit more complex.
So what would be the downside to being too simple? I'm not getting the problem.
How do you do backups? You know, okay. So you're trying to hide vSphere under the hood here. But how do you do backups? It's not exposing how to do backups. If I'm doing VM level backups, I'm going to go have to dig around in this thing and find the vCenter server, and probably hook something up to it to do backups. You know, or I'm going to have to pay somebody to do that. Another big question is networking. Why aren't there network switches being delivered with these solutions? You know, people buy buy converged infrastructure partially because it's a political play. You know, like you can you just in one swoop, you know, you can get rid of, well, not get rid of, but deal with legacy storage infrastructure, legacy network infrastructure sometimes. You know, the traditional converged infrastructures don't really converge anything, you know. But they are a political play, you know. Like, so you get their engineered solutions, you get top of rack switches, you get, you know, storage, networking, and fiber channel, and all that stuff. And it looks exactly like what you've been doing for years, except it's only owned by one team. You know, it's owned by the virtualization guys now. You know, and they run the whole thing. You know, it's a political thing. Why I see hyperconverged stuff right now as having a problem there, in that you can't make that same play with a hyperconverged solution. All of a sudden, you still have your network guys in there, you know, and it's a different conversation. You're still beholden. If you're looking to make a change in your organization, hyperconverged still leaves a door open for conversations you may not want to have. So that's what I'm talking about when, you know, like the sort of cons to this. But I think it's a great 1.0 product. I think a lot of what they're going to need to do for scaling, you know, vSAN, virtual SAN only goes to 16 nodes, which informs why you can only put four node devices in a cluster. You know, they're going to have to fix that, and I welcome that fix. You know, they're going to have to do a bunch of work on the back end for this, and that'll benefit everybody.
You mentioned just a minute ago the trying to you know, cut the networking side, or not to cut them out, but, you know,
change the conversation.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
You know, most places really aren't trying to cut networking guys out or whatever, but we want to radically change the conversation we're having. You know, like, there's a lot of people get really, and I have to say, I was at one point stuck in the same thing. You know, that all looks like crap. I didn't think of it. I don't want to do that. This is going to change my job. Seriously, you know, like, and I know exactly what these folks are going through. But the way IT is going, it's change or die, you know, like, and that's your choice, change or die, you know, well, not die, but not work there anymore, you know, and most places can find so many more interesting problems to deal with than what you're working on right now. You just have to sort of embrace the idea that you're going to be working on different stuff.
Yeah. Speaking of that, the one thing that I've noticed, I'm curious if you've seen the same thing, is more interest this year in NSX, and maybe even a better understanding of what it is and how it can apply to your environment.
Yeah, NSX last year was a 1.0 product, mostly a product announcement, you know, kind of a science project. And no, seriously, you know, like, we chuckle at that, but, you know, it's gone from a science project to a product this year. You know, like it's a product. It's got real uses. We're talking about micro segmentation. You know, being able to, provision firewall. Firewalls around VMs, distributed routing, you know, load balancing, all that is part of app profiles now. People are starting to really get the implications for service delivery, you know. And this is also, you know, we were talking just a second ago, but, you know, the changing world of networking and all that stuff, this is another area where people have to, you know, this is really powerful stuff. And, you know, continuing to do it the way we've always done it, where it's a, you know, device out on the network or, you know, the gateways or whatever, you know, you can do that, but the operational efficiencies you gain by thinking, but just being open to the idea of doing something differently, you know. Perhaps we're seeing NSX, for example, in a different light right now because we're starting to be more open to the to these new ideas.
Yeah, speaking of new ideas, you have been spending some time on the show floor. I'm curious if there's anything that has caught your eye, any products, new companies that is really, you know, innovative and interesting.
This year is really, it is really interesting. There are a few products that I find really cool. I will say this year, the show floor seems like, you know, if last year was 1.5, it's 1.8. You know, release 1.8. You know, it's everybody's just sort of rounding out their portfolios. Arrays that didn't have dedupe have dedupe now. You know, arrays that didn't have flash have flash now. You know, there's more flash. You know, every 6 months you get twice as much flash or it's half the price. You know, like, oh, we have no more flash. So it's been kind of hard, actually, you know. Like, it's been kind of hard to be out on the show floor because there's nothing that really catches your eye. You know, Simplivity, for example, in the Converge space, announced that they can install not just on their own hardware, but they can install now on the Cisco B-Series of UCS. Well, that's neat. You know, that's a cool feature, but it's not like, you know, I'm not going to go home and, you know, rave to my wife about it, you know, like, well, A, she's not going to know what I'm talking about, but, you know, it's not even worth, it's important, but it's not revolutionary, it's evolutionary. We've got heavy evolution out there right now, but, you know, there's a couple of companies. Data Gravity is one of them. I was just getting a demo, actually, from Data Gravity. They're doing content analysis for things like compliance. You know, you want to use a Data Gravity array. It uses their spare controller. It's active passive controllers. They use the passive controller to do content analysis. They can tell you who's opened a file. Hey, which files on here have social security numbers? Which files have credit card numbers? And who's been opening them? You know, who's been reading from them? Who are the collaborators on a particular file? You know, and some really powerful reporting stuff there that we've never seen at the array level. You know, there's some companies that are doing it at the OS level, but then you have to install an agent and that, you know, people know it's there, that sort of stuff. This is sort of sneaky stuff at the array level, and that's really cool. There's some really interesting reporting and security implications here. Yeah, and they're doing it for everything that's written on there. So if you're storing virtual machines, they're opening that virtual machine file up and looking into it. They're all rights. They're preserving permission models. They can see into your Active Directory. It's really interesting.
Great. Well, Bob, I think that's all I have for you. I appreciate you joining me, and thanks for your thoughts.
Yeah, thanks for having me.